Episode 2, how meditation can help you to quit that job.
I looked out over the ocean and it was just the most beautiful sunrise and it just stopped me. And I was driving to a building and it just hit me that I was going to be spending this beautiful day inside this building. But it was not where I needed to be. And in that moment, I realized that I was going to leave it.
Meditation for the modern day superwoman. The place where you will begin to step more into yourself, where you will learn tools to be more mindful and to let go of that weight on your shoulders. A place for you to shut out all that noise, release all of that stress, and let go of all those expectations. Whether you're a working woman, a mom, an entrepreneur, a free spirit, or any beautiful combo of these things, you are a superwoman in your own way. This is a place to get real and a place to be authentic, to learn how to use meditation to deal with real problems and to feel empowered along the way. So, superwoman, take some deep breaths, let go, and take this time to allow yourself to become more you as we get into this episode. This podcast was created for you by I Meditate the World, and I am your host, Amy Dornbrack. I'm an artist, an animal activist, a spiritual seeker, a mom, a business owner, and most importantly, an advocate for women feeling empowered to become more of themselves. This is episode number 2, How Meditation Can Help You Quit That Job, and it features inspirational writer and poet Christy Page. To download your free Superwoman meditation on the theme of letting go, head over to imeditatetheworld.com. This podcast was created for you by I Meditate the World, and I am your host, Amy Dornbrack. I'm an artist, an animal activist, a spiritual seeker, a mom, a business owner, and most importantly, an advocate for women feeling empowered to become more of themselves. Before we get into this episode, I want to let you know that if you head over to imeditatetheworld.com, you can download your free Superwoman meditation that goes with our theme of letting go. Letting go of those expectations, letting go of the judgments, letting go of all of the shoulds, and just being and stepping into you. So this is episode number 2, how meditation can help you quit that job. In this episode, I'm going to chat to Christy about her journey through self-discovery, through looking within, and how she came to the point where she decided to leave her 20-year medical career and pursue her love of writing. So Christy's going to get real with us about the moment she decided to quit. She's going to talk to us about her struggles and triumphs that she has faced since. And I've asked her to give us some practical advice on how we too can begin to discover or follow our true desires. So whether you're in need of a career change or if you simply need to spend more time focusing on those things that make you happy, you really need to listen to this episode. Before I introduce Christy, I just want to tell you a little bit about my journey and how Christy came into my life at just the right time. So about 3 years ago, I was going through this stage where I really wasn't at my happiest, and I had left Canada yet again, and I was in pursuit of some dream that I had yet to discover. I had never really stayed in one spot at a time. I moved from place to place. I traveled around, but I still always had this feeling of being incomplete or not really being fulfilled. So I was in the United Arab Emirates at this point, and I was teaching there, and it was a fun new adventure, and you would think I would be fulfilled trying to work my way in a new country and learn all of these new things, but somehow I found myself constantly on the computer looking up new places I could travel to on my holidays or on the weekend, and I just really wasn't happy with where I was at. So I'd go on a trip, I'd have a fun little adventure, and then I'd get back. And once that feeling and excitement of the trip and talking about my adventures had kind of faded away, I'd still be left feeling a little bit empty. And I was just constantly looking up what my next move would be. I was never really just content being. I kind of wondered if I'd made a mistake leaving Canada again. I wondered, what am I doing in the Middle East? And I was just going through this stage of working through all of these thoughts in my head and trying to figure out what or who I was meant to be. And I was walking down the street near my villa and came across this sick cat that was laying on the street, and he could barely move, and I actually wasn't quite sure if he was alive at first. And I was never really much of a cat person, but I've always had a heart for animals, and I knew I had to help this cat. So I took the cat into my villa and did a bunch of research on the internet about how I could nurse this cat back to health. And I tried for a few days, tried a few different things, and it really wasn't working. So I ended up having to take it into the city, about a 2-hour drive, to go see a vet, and was given a lot of medication that I had to give to this cat 3 times a day. And it took about a month of trial and error, and finally this cat was coming around. And when I took this cat into the vet, he said the weight of the cat is truly only the weight of its bone mass. So it had no substance to it whatsoever. It was on its last leg of life. And so then spending that month nursing it back to health and watching it become this happy and healthy cat gave me this feeling of fulfillment that I had never experienced before in my life. And that led to another rescue, and then another rescue. And just a little bit about the United Arab Emirates and where I was living, there were lots of stray animals and lots of sick animals, and it was just kind of normal for them to be wandering around. So most people just became desensitized to it, and it just became part of how it was there. But I couldn't accept that, especially after helping this one cat. So I spent most of my spare money and my free time helping these animals, and I connected with a few people there who were the same and felt the same as I did, and we kind of worked together, and we saved some animals. We sent some animals to America to find them their forever home, and I had never been happier. And I realized why I was put on this earth. I realized I was here to help and to help heal, and part of that is working with animals, part of that is helping and inspiring women. But it took a lot of work for me to get from that point of realizing my passion and realizing my calling and getting to the place of accepting that and getting to the place where I was comfortable telling people, I'm going to quit teaching, I'm going to throw away this 4-year teaching degree, still have some student debt, really have only taught for 7 years, and I'm just going to save animals. First of all, I didn't know how I was going to support myself. I didn't know what my next steps were. I didn't really know how to get from where I was and where I wanted to be. But I just knew that I had to follow the signs each step of the way. And my meditation practice really helped me to get in touch with the right answers, to quiet my mind, to quiet the chatter, and just get in touch with my heart. So as I was going through this stage in my life and being able to openly embrace and accept myself, I came across a poem on Elephant Journal, and it was called Tethered. And this poem, I read it and it just gave me goosebumps, and I felt like the poem was just written for me. And the poem was written by Christy Page. So I got in touch with Christy after doing some creeping online, and I said, hey, I loved your poem. Are you okay with me using your words in a painting that I want to create for myself? And she agreed, and we connected that way and stayed in touch sporadically ever since. So I really feel like this poem was an important part in my journey. This poem really helped to inspire me, and it helped me to feel just that I wasn't alone, and that other people felt the same way that I did. And I really feel like Christy following her heart and stepping away from her medical career and getting into the writing world and publishing this poem really inspired me. And I just feel like if we all follow our hearts and if we all are doing those things that we are meant to do, we're going to create so much light and so much inspiration and help one another. So I'm so excited for you to hear about Christy's journey today. And Christy, welcome. I'm so grateful that you are here with us today.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here with you today. I am so excited to be talking to you. It is truly an honor.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And I know that what you have to say will probably, you know, help a lot of people on their journey the same way that you helped me.
Thank you. I certainly hope so.
So I was wondering, would you like to read your poem Tethered? Sorry, I forgot to ask you this. If you're not prepared, I can read it. I do have it here.
If you have it, that would be great. I do not have it with me, and I cannot recite it from memory.
I forgot to mention. So if you don't mind, can I share it with our audience?
Absolutely. That would be lovely. Thank you.
Okay. So the poem is called Tethered. And she was wild in every way. It left her breathless. Every sunset, every flower, every tree expanding its branches toward the sky articulated her. She wanted to be absorbed by the earth. Lay down in its grasses, feeling the soil soak her up. She listened as the wind left poetry in her hair. She poured her soul into the living, surrounding things and willed her fingertips to answer back to the ground as she passed her hands over tiny insects. She was wild. She was madness. Despising these structures and constructed cages that wished to incorporate her into corporate ideals, her essence was the sea, the mountains, the valleys, and the deserts. She was a mustang, a wolf, a lion, a shark, hungry, powerful, graceful, and free, tethered only by companionship and a desire to roam. She was madness. She was wild. She was me.
Thank you. You did that much better than I ever could have.
Oh gosh, I was kind of nervous reading your poem too.
No, that was fantastic. That was beautiful.
So maybe can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe touch on how you left your 20-year medical career to pursue your dreams?
Sure. So my name is Christy Page. I have written as long as I can remember, particularly poetry. When I was a little girl, my mother has saved, you know, countless pieces of scrap paper that I would write on and write things on. And I never understood studying growing up in middle school, in high school, in college. When I was studying the literary process, it never occurred to me that that was something that I could apply to myself. So I just went off and did what everyone else does, and I got a very practical career. I thought, okay, well, medicine, you know, will pay the bills. There's always a need for it. Very practical. It's very respectful. It's something that will keep me engaged, you know, with people, and I can help in that way. And I've always been somebody who wanted to help, but I just figured that was the most practical, you know, way to do it. I wish I could say that it was a calling or that it was more romanticized than that, but it was simply something that I thought, well, I can do this and blood doesn't bother me, so let me jump into the medical field. And that's what I did. I was in the medical field in various forms for over 20 years. I started out as a medical assistant and then a surgical technician and then an x-ray technician and then moved into administration and practice administration and management. And teaching. I taught other medical students for a long time and just really realized, much like yourself, that yes, I was doing a good service and yes, I was helping people, but it wasn't fulfilling to me. It wasn't fulfilling my soul. I still felt empty. Going to work felt like a chore every day. And, you know, you get burnt out on doing the same monotonous deeds over and over and over again. So that's kind of where I was in my life. I had come to work at a wonderful surgeon's office, plastic surgery. We did a lot of breast cancer reconstruction, you know, as well as the fun stuff. But I found that I was most fulfilled when I could take the time one-on-one to speak with my patients and give them an idea of what to expect. And being a breast cancer survivor myself and having gone through multiple surgeries, I was able to connect with people and they seemed to open up to me. They would open up their fears and their anxieties and their insecurities and their hesitations. And then seeing them on the other side of their surgeries and learning about their triumphs and, you know, their success and survival over the, you know, disease or whatever it was they were dealing with, I found that that is what gave me pause. It just, it was like, I realized that I could connect with these people and that I had something to say. And I was doing it on a very, obviously a very small scale because I was just dealing with the patients that I would see on a daily basis. So that's kind of how I kind of made the connection between, you know, finding a voice and talking to people in my everyday life. And I started writing as a way to kind of express some of the things that I had been going through. It was kind of on a down period. I actually started writing in 2013 after one of many surgeries. And I was, you know, homebound and laid up. And I just picked up the computer one day and I was like, you know, I'm going to start documenting some of this stuff. I'm going to start documenting, you know, my life and what I've learned and what I can share. And it was really something that I did for myself. I wasn't intending on reaching a global audience. I just kind of felt, okay, well, I'll put this down on, you know, virtual paper. And if someone wants to read it, great. And if not, then it's more like an online diary for me. And that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I love that you said you did it for yourself, because I feel like often that's when we realize what our true calling is and what we're really meant to do is when we just stop listening to what everyone else wants us to do. And we stop listening to what we think we should do. And we just do what we want and do what makes us happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think, I hope that this message will help people come to that understanding and begin to just listen to, you know, what sparks their heart, what makes them feel alive. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times it takes a really negative experience to get to that place of letting go of the stupid shit that really doesn't matter, you know?
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, it often takes that like really scary thing happening. And I'm assuming for you, it was probably all of your surgeries, right?
It was. And it was, you know, it was a really, it's really funny because you touched on something in the introduction that struck a curve, you know, like a nerve with me. And that's that, you know, I had poured all of my education, all of my finances into pursuing this medical career. And so everything, all of my knowledge, my entire knowledge base was medicine and medical. And I was, you know, really good at it, but it just wasn't serving me. So when I took that leap, and it was this very, very profound moment for me, and it was a very strange thing. And I wish, like I said, I wish it was more romanticized, but I was literally driving to work. And there's this place in the town that I live in Stewart. And it's right, we're right on the ocean, right on the Atlantic Ocean. It's absolutely beautiful. And Stewart is a little historic town. It's the sailfish capital of the world. And so we have, you know, boats and sailors and marinas and, you know, everything. And I was driving over what's called the Roosevelt Bridge here. And on my way to my traditional, you know, very practical career. And I looked out over the ocean on my left, and it was just the most beautiful sunrise that I had ever seen. And it just stopped me. I mean, I was driving, but I was just completely captivated. And I looked out to my right, and the marina was there, and all the boats and the way that the water was just absolutely gorgeous and glistening. And I was driving to a building, and it just hit me. It just hit me that I was going to be spending this beautiful day inside this building, you know, and kind of helping, you know, a corporation, if you will. And again, not to say anything bad, because it was a wonderful job and a wonderful practice that did a lot of good, but it was not where I needed to be. It was not where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I realized that I was going to leave it. I knew right then, going over that bridge, that I was going to go into my job and I was going to tell them that I was leaving and that I had no plan. I had absolutely no plan. I had been writing for a little while. I got very, very lucky that some editors and readers of Elephant Journal came across some of my writing, my blog writing online, and asked if I would submit a piece to them. And so I did, and my career kind of snowballed from there. I started, you know, writing, and other people started reaching out to me and asking me to submit things, and it just kind of snowballed. But I never thought about making it a full-time job. And so I walked into work, and I sat down with the physician, surgeon that I was with, and I told him what I wanted to do. He had read some of my work previously, and he looked right at me and he said, "That is your gift, and that is what you should be doing." He's like, "I was wondering when you were going to wake up. You're amazing at this. I hate to see you go, but that's what you need to do." And it was the first time that anybody ever said, "This is your gift and go do it." You know, it was everyone else, you know, of course, well, how are you going to pay your bills and what are you going to do? And, you know, how are you going to make a living? How are you going to eat? You're going to end up homeless. And, you know, you're not Stephen King, or you're not, you know, all these, you know, famous, you know, authors that have, you know, books and money and royalty and, you know, whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I made that leap. And on the last day of work, when I was leaving, it was very bittersweet because I knew that I was stepping away from a 20-year career. I got in the car, I turned on the vehicles, I was pulling out of the parking lot, and Van Halen's song Jump came on. And I started bawling like a baby. I was like, this is the universe, it's telling me what to do. This is the green light that I was looking for. And I cried all the way home, but I felt extremely empowered in that moment, and just felt like I was following all of the right signs and doing the right things.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, that's so funny. I was chatting with someone yesterday about the exact same thing, about, you know, how as soon as you start listening to your heart and you kind of quiet down from everything else, and we kind of touched on how meditation helps you do that. But
absolutely.
Then it's like, you are open and receptive to listening to these signs, whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever, in that,
right.
You know, any other time you may have gotten in the car and a song maybe came on that was meant for you, and you may not have even noticed that it was telling you something, right? So as soon as you
absolutely
are receptive to opening up to that, it's amazing how your life just leads in a certain way, and you get these signs along the way, like, yes, do this, no, don't do this, and your intuition kicks in.
Yes. And I think I really do believe that meditation is a huge part of that mindfulness, that introspection, that, you know, you're able to actually pay attention to not only, you know, just connecting with your breath, connecting with what's around you, but with connecting with the thoughts that maybe you don't have time to connect to on a busy day. I mean, I was a single mother with two children that were 23 months apart. I worked full time. I went to school full time. I was constantly in a state of going and being distracted by things and never able to actually spend any time listening to my own needs or my own thoughts. And when I discovered, you know, meditation and being able to do that, it was amazing to me, the plethora of inner knowledge that you have that you just don't ever tap into. It's a resource that a lot of people just don't even pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of people have this misconception too about meditation and what it is. And really it is just being mindful and tuning into yourself and listening to yourself, because you deep down, I think everyone knows, right? And I actually love what you touched on in the beginning, how you said, you know, you this career, it's great and it may be for someone, but it just isn't for you. And I don't want to give the message that you need to just be a writer or a painter or a healer.
Right.
If you listen to your, you know, your soul or your heart, and if you're meant to be in the medical career, that's perfect. I feel like if you're excited to wake up in the morning and do that, if you lay down at night and that's what you're thinking about, and you just feel alive because of it, well, perfect. You know, like, we all have our thing,
right.
But you just need to find out what is your thing.
Right, absolutely. There's a video that goes around, Steve Harvey, actually, and he has a video that's called Jump also. And it's just like a 3-minute him talking to an audience, and it's talking about how it doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, well, if you're meditating and then you're in deep thought, or you have to, you know, spend all this time doing something or pursuing some artistic or more alternative form of, you know, income. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you can be the most amazing hairstylist in the world, and that can give you true passion and true joy and, you know, you can be amazing at it and that's your gift. Or you can be the best, you know, landscaper in the world or the best, you know, architect in the world. It doesn't have to be necessarily an alternative form of, you know, a career choice. It could be anything. And that, I think, is the most important thing for people to realize, that a lot of people get so caught up in what they think they should be doing or what sounds like the right thing to do because that's what everyone else is doing. And that's not necessarily the case at all. I mean, some people have a passion for practicing law. You know, some people have a passion for, you know, baking. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's there and it's in your soul and it's something that you really want to do and that you feel empowered by. It could be anything on the planet.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And you know, when you were saying that moment that you decided you were going to quit your job, and it wasn't this romanticized moment, it just was, and that's life, and that's what I want this podcast to be, just like real life. This is how we feel, and this is our authentic way of living. It's not all sunshine and rainbows either, like taking that leap. And maybe you can touch on that a little bit, like what happened next when you decided you were going to quit your job. I'm sure you've had lots of highs. Utterly alive, like, you know, I'm sure there's been lows too. So how did that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, so initially when I decided to quit, I was actually on a high. It was one of those, I was having a lot of pieces published in various publications. Chicken Soup for the Soul was a huge one. I had won some literary competitions and been asked to speak at some, you know, festivals and whatnot. And so it was a high for me. I was like, I absolutely can do this. Obviously, everyone wants to hear what I have to say. And that's that, you know, that initial, you know, moment where you get a little full of yourself. Like, I'm doing this and I'm really doing it. And it's happening for me. And, you know, I'm going to be the next, you know, J.K. Rowling. And, you know, I'm going to have books and movies. And, you know, everything I have to say is important. And then you do realize, and I realized very quickly, that some of my most profound thoughts, some of the things that the messages that I wanted to reach the largest audience, were things that people really weren't that interested in hearing about. And it kind of took me back. It was like, wait a minute, you mean that this profound thought that I've had, that I want to share, this message that I want to get out there, is not being received? I mean, that you know, what's happening? And, you know, I would go months without having something picked up or an article picked up. And you kind of learn how to adjust your audience within still speaking that truth, you know, with still speaking the truth and still being true to what you want to write and what you want to do. For me as a writer, that's what it was about. And I realized that, you know, okay, let me put other material out, you know, and a different type of material out. And I actually published an article in Elephant Journal, or they published an article that I wrote, and it was on a subject that was something I was going through at the moment. And it was an article about cheating and about how a person that I was in a relationship with cheated on me. And I chose to stay in that moment and work through the issues that we were having. And it received the largest number of views of any article that I had ever published. And I received so many hate emails and messages, and, you know, of people, you know, who would completely just obliterate, you know, everything. You're a horrible person. How could you advise other women to stay in relationships? And you must have low self-esteem, and you're weak, and you're pathetic. And I mean, just the most horrific things that you can possibly think to call someone or to say to someone else. And by strangers. I mean, it was being sent to me by people who did not know me at all. And I realized very, very quickly that was a low for me, because it was a painful moment that I felt very strongly about overcoming, and felt very confident in telling that story and in showing that there are alternatives to, you know, alternatives to making choices in your life. It just meant, again, same thing like with the career. I followed what my heart told me to do. Mm-hmm. And I followed my own path. And in doing so, it was not well received at all. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, okay, moments where you have to realize that if you're going to speak a truth, if you're going to follow a dream, if you're going to, you know, share things with the world, your gift with the world, it is going to come at a cost. And, mm-hmm. you know, you are going to have to be prepared to weather that just as much as you weather the successes, because it teaches you just as much about yourself as anything positive ever could. So it was one of those moments that, you know, it was very eye-opening for me. And I realized, you know, very quickly that, you know, it can be just as bad as it is good. So you have to ride that wave of your successes, and you have to try to appreciate them for what they are when you have them. And when you have fails, that you have to learn from those failures, and you have to pick yourself up. And no matter what it is that is the failure, you know, no matter what it is, you just keep pressing forward. You just keep following and pursuing that dream. Because for me, I equate a lot of my writing to the ocean. I live on the ocean. I grew up on the ocean. I was born by the ocean. I equate everything with the tides. And that's, to me, what life is. It's just going with the tides. It's an ebb and flow. It's for all the good there is bad. For all the clear blue skies, there's just as many storms. And you can learn just as much about yourself in your failure than you can as you can in your success.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that all comes back down to what you said about mindful thinking and mindful living. You had mm-hmm. that awareness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so important.
And that's not an easy, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, it certainly isn't something that I've had my whole life. I mean, I spent a lot of time, you know, very angry about my circumstances and very angry about my situation and angry that I had a cancer diagnosis and angry that I had to have a mastectomy at such an early age and angry that I couldn't, you know, do the things that I was normally used to doing. And I spent a lot of time angry with the people around me who had, you know, nothing to do with illness or, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. I was just angry. And, you know, like I said, it was just this moment when I realized, okay, I have a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be thankful for. And I need to truly focus on the positive things in my life, not to discount the negative. And that's not to say that you can't have those moments where you're upset or you're angry or you're frustrated or you're disappointed, but that for every moment that you are, you're wasting an opportunity to be grateful. And I have found that in gratitude, that's the most reward. I mean, that's the, you know, if you are grateful for everything, the blade of grass, the sun shining, the rain, you know, whatever, if you're grateful for it, then you're rewarded tenfold.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I love that you touched on gratitude, and gratitude's been a transformative tool in my life. And I just feel like when you spend that time just being present in the moment and mm-hmm. appreciating everything mm-hmm. around you, you realize how much you have to be grateful mm-hmm. for. Oftentimes, I would get bogged down by something I wanted to buy and couldn't, or a bill that I had mm-hmm. to save money to pay for. And I would think, oh, I don't have enough money for this. And you know, then I actually read this book and it helped me. And now every morning I get up and I write in my journal and I write, I'm grateful that I have money to mm-hmm. pay for this house over my head. I'm grateful I have money to live in this right. warm, cozy house, even though it's cold outside. And I think just shifting right. thinking into that is transformative in mm-hmm. itself.
It really is. It really is. I have a very brief example, and it was just one of these moments that I stumbled on with a friend, and we were at a hotel. And it was overlooking the water, and it was in the morning, and I woke up and I had coffee and I walked out into the balcony and I set my phone to record the sunrise. And I wanted to do a time lapse of the sunrise, and it was perfect weather and it was absolutely gorgeous. And I was drinking coffee and I was so present and so grateful and just in the company of a good friend. And I looked at him and I was like, isn't this just the most amazing, wonderful moment? And he looked at me and said, I'm getting dripped on by water from up above. Can we move the chairs? And I realized in that moment that I had been getting dripped on also by mm-hmm. water, but was looking at the bigger picture, and it wasn't even a focus or a thought mm-hmm. of mine. And he was focused on this tiny moment and this tiny event that was happening instead of the bigger picture. And you know, we looked at each other and I started laughing, and, you know, I looked at him and he started laughing at me, and, you know, we were both just kind of laughing at the moment, because it just not only defined our fundamental difference in how we view things, you know, just in how different people are, mm-hmm. but that we were both grateful to be there in that moment. It was just that our focus was on different things. And I think that that's something that's really important too, because gratefulness and gratitude and, you know, appreciation and being mindful doesn't mean that we all have to feel or think the same in the same moment. It means that, you know, we can appreciate things in a different way And that's a lesson that I've had to learn, that, you know, just because someone isn't thinking the same way that I am, or isn't taking in the same things that I'm taking in, or taking away something, doesn't mean that they're any more or less mindful or present or grateful than I am, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that, you know, those fundamental differences that makes you just appreciate the human experience in general, because everyone's getting something different out of every single moment.
Yeah, for sure. So this episode of the podcast, I really want to focus on helping people, you know, to look within and follow their hearts and let go of the things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. In your journey, what would you say has helped you the most? How can we help the listeners, you know, shift into that mindful thinking and shift into approaching life from the heart? Like, what would you say would be a step they can take today?
Today, I think that every single one of us has an inner monologue that plays out on a daily basis, where we know the answers to the questions that we ask ourselves, but we sometimes talk ourselves out of the answer. So, you know, you could be in a relationship, let's say, that is maybe not fulfilling you in the way that you need to be fulfilled. And maybe you're saying, because it's a practical thing, maybe it's finances, maybe it's, you know, too complicated to separate everything, maybe it's, you know, any number of reasons, but you know in your heart that this is not the person that you need to be with, or that this is not the person that is going to fulfill you in the long-term journey. You know, take a listen to what your inner monologue is saying and stop talking yourself out of the answers. Same thing with a career. You know, not everybody can go and quit their job tomorrow and pursue their dream. That is not a realistic expectation. But if there's something that you are passionate about inside, if there's a hidden talent there, or something that you've always dreamed of doing, if you want to sing, if you want to be a singer, if you want to be an artist, if you want to be, you know, again, a hairdresser, if you want to be a gardener, if you want to be a farmer, you know, start small and listen to that inner voice and nurture that thing, nurture that voice. You know, take a voice lesson, learn to play piano, you know, get guitar lessons, go to the gym if you want to be healthier, you know, just those little things that we always talk ourselves out of doing because we think that it has to be an all or nothing scale. You know, if you've always wanted to sing in a band, why not go to an open mic night and just do it? You know, just try it. Just listen to your voice. If it makes you happy, do it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I feel that's an everyday thing that we can do. And like I said, it doesn't have to be on some massive scale. There can be little things that you do within yourself that help lead you to that path of knowing where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that when we hear the phrase, take a leap of faith, we think it has to be this huge, quit my job, take this huge leap, when really you're right. It can be
right.
A small step is still a leap in the right direction. I feel like it's still
absolutely a risk. Absolutely. When you step out of your comfort zone, I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, there is nothing, you know, there's nothing that's not scary about it. I can't tell you how many times, you know, when I was, after I had put in my resignation, I could have at any time rescinded that. I could have rescinded my resignation at any time and had my career back. And there were many nights where I thought, what am I doing? I make a good living. I pay my bills. I'm self-sufficient. I, you know, I have responsibilities to, you know, family and children. And, you know, I need to not, you know, do this. And every time I would drive to work and look out over that same bridge, I would remind myself of my original intent in the first place. And, you know, like I said, on the last day of my job, leaving that career, I knew it was the right decision. I knew my internal voice was extraordinarily loud that day. And, you know, for as sad as the moment was for me to be leaving that behind, it was just as excited for the future. And again, it was out of your comfort zone. It's just one of those things that, and again, little steps, you know, little steps. People can do it in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just the reality of it. It's not often you can leap from one place to a completely different life. It is just taking those small steps. And I think through meditation and through even just sitting with yourself in silence, mm-hmm. and listening to your heart, you'll take one step and then another step, and then you'll listen to another sign. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years later, you look back and you're living this completely different life because you've been listening.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with us. If you wanted to share, not to put you on the spot or anything, but do you have any resources online or somewhere that people can turn to if they're looking to maybe start to shift their thinking or live a more mindful life? Do you have a recommendation of where they can start?
I do. Well, I really found a lot of inspiration from the writers at Elephant Journal. One of the things that people may not know is that they take submissions from all over the world at all different times. And so learning about people's individual experiences and realizing, again, just like you said, that you're not alone, that someone else is having these same thoughts that you're having. And, you know, you can then reference their material and see how they dealt with it. That was one of the most inspiring things for me to realize, because like I said, I was writing a blog for myself. And to know that people started to reach out and respond to me and, you know, to point me in different directions, I was amazed. I was amazed at the online community. It really is a very supportive place to be. If you connect with people who are like-minded, who have the same types of, you know, goals or interests, like I said, Elephant Journal was a huge resource for me.
Perfect. So I want to thank you for sharing your poem on there and for, you know, sharing your journey with the world. I think it's, you know, it's what we need, more people to do that and be more open and authentic and just, you know, everything's not perfect and we go through these struggles, but we can share and learn from and inspire one another.
I love that. I love that idea. I believe in a community of truly building one another up. And, you know, again, we're all in this together. It, you know, the outcome is exactly the same. We're all in this together. We're all struggling. Everyone has their own unique story, you know, decisions and choices that have led them to the place that they're at in their lives. And the more that we can empower one another to be free in expressing those feelings and those dreams, just the stronger we're going to be, as you know, unified humans. It's a human experience.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So in closing, would you like to share with our listeners how they can reach you and get a hold of you, or, you know, read some of your work? And I think it would be great if
Sure.
shared with both of us in some form, maybe one.
Yes.
One step that they're going to take towards
absolutely,
you know, maybe like you said, someone is like, you know, I'm gonna go sign up for those singing lessons, you know, and I think just getting it out there and sharing I'm doing this, it helps you to actually do it. So I would love if our listeners would share with us, what are you going to do this week that's for you?
I love that. I would love to hear that as well. You can find me, the easiest way to find me is on my website. It's www.christypage.com. And that has links to all of my published work, as well as links to all of the social media platforms. So Facebook and Instagram and things like that. You can find me there. And I would love to know what people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christy. Thank you for sharing. You're just such an inspiration for us women to begin to take charge of our own lives and to really follow our hearts. And I love what you said about taking those leaps and also taking those small steps. So, super women, after listening to today's episode, please tell us, what is one thing, what is one out of your comfort zone thing that you are going to do this week, not next week? And remember that the more that you meditate, the more in touch you're going to get with your heart. So head over to imeditatetheworld.com to download your free Superwoman meditation to help you let go and to help you get in touch with your heart. And if you'd like, you can stick around for the next 5 minutes for a mini meditation to help you quiet your mind, to help you relax, and to help you let go. Comfortable position and gently close your eyes. Give yourself permission to nourish your body and mind, to just be in this moment. Take a deep breath in and slowly exhale. Breathe in and release. Breathe in and release. Now allow yourself to take over breathing naturally. Observe how your breath naturally rises and falls with each breath in and out. Keep your awareness on your breath. If thoughts come, let them come, and then gently let them go. Not following your thoughts, just a gentle acknowledgement, and then a letting go. Allow your body to soften and relax. Soften your forehead and your eyes. Relax your jaw and tongue. Release any tension in your shoulders, allowing them to soften and relax. Now let them drop even more. Bring that relaxation down your arms, hands, and fingers. Now relax your chest, your back, and stomach. Soften your hips, allowing them to relax and loosen. Relax your legs, calves, ankles, and feet. Spend a few moments with this feeling of relaxation, keeping your awareness on your breath. Repeat silently to yourself, I let go and enjoy the natural flow of this day, whatever it may bring. Breathe in, breathe out. Repeat silently to yourself, I am strong, calm, centered, and peaceful. Breathe in, breathe out. Repeat silently to yourself, nothing outside of me can change how I feel inside. I feel positive, confident, and empowered. Breathe in, breathe out. Spend as much time as you need in this moment.